And it all begins right now with Susan Brown of the Chapel Hill Public Library. We're talking books. How are you?
I'm fabulous. How are you?
That's good. I am also fabulous.
It stopped raining.
It did stop raining.
There was a while when I was pretty sure it wasn't going to stop raining.
It was never going to stop raining, like that one short story that's set in Venus where it just rains forever and then the sun only comes out once a year.
Well, yeah, no, I just saw like the squirrels in the backyard lining up two by two. I was like, oh, man. Last time that happened,
yeah,
was not good.
If the squirrels are lining up two by two, then most of those squirrels are going to be real disappointed because only two of them are getting on.
Right,
I know, like
right?
If there's like a 2x12 rectangle of squirrels, then...
The squirrel army, a column of squirrels. yeah.
Yeah. So how did you ride out the storm?
Just
doing what you're normally doing, probably?
Well, so, right, so Monday it was still raining.
Right.
And there was this general sentiment at the library, and perhaps this is everywhere, but it's a little amplified at the library. So it's Monday morning, it's been dumping rain, and we're all like, man, I'd like to be home under the covers with a good book and a cup of tea,
right? Yes.
So we all just sort of... a lot. And we powered through it.
That's
but
good.
The great thing about the library, shameless plug coming, is even when it's dumping rain outside, people still love to come to the library. They just sit around and read or work, or it's a place to hang out. But even those windows where people tend to sit and work all day, it's beautiful even when it's raining. So in
That's
the big
true,
reading
yeah.
room, sitting at the windows, overlooking the trees, even on a rainy, glum day, it's pretty cool. So the library was pretty rocking both days.
I feel like there are certain books that are particularly good for rainy days.
Yeah? Like what?
Oh, I don't know.
Like Cozy Mysteries or Agatha Christie.
I was thinking about like, well, we're going to be moving into kids' books here
in
a minute because what is it, National...
It's the Week of the Young Child.
The Week of the Young Child.
Yes.
That sounds like a... Okay.
It's an annual celebration hosted by the National Association of Education for Young Children, NAEYC, of course, celebrating early learning, young children, their teachers, and families.
I feel like the word national is missing. Like, it's the Week of the Young Children. It's supposed to be like
the Week
national,
of the Young Child.
Week of the Young Child, yes. Just
hosted
one.
By the
it's
National Association for the Education of
young
Children.
Children. Yes.
NAEYC. But it is an event that is celebrated across the country in any number of ways. But we weren't talking about that.
We were talking about
books to read on a rainy day.
Yeah, using that as a segue to talk about books for kids. Like books to read on a rainy day. Like there are so many great kids' books that are set on rainy days when you're stuck inside and you got to do something like Cat in the Hat or Jumanji set on a rainy day. Yeah, that's what I was thinking of.
That's good stuff.
Yeah, right?
So you know what I did today?
What did you do
as
today?
As part of the Week of the Young Child, myself and a couple of my staff members, my colleagues, went to Raleigh to the Convention Center for the Triangle Community Foundation's annual What Matters. It's a sort of a mini conference and a luncheon.
Okay.
It's not a lunch. It's a luncheon.
Luncheon, yes.
It was very nice. Every year they do this. It convenes their funders, the groups they fund, area nonprofits and stakeholders. And it's always on a different topic. So one year it was about innovation and change. I think one year it was about regionalism. And this year it was all about young children and especially young kids and literacy.
Cool.
So there were, and we saw lots of people from everywhere, from Chapel Hill to Chatham to Garner to Fuqua. I mean, it was the whole triangle.
Yes.
With all kinds of folks there. and the morning sessions were awesome, but guess who the keynote speaker was?
You.
No.
Daniel Wallace.
No. Think even bigger.
Even bigger than you and Daniel Wallace? Okay, what is you
this
combined with Daniel Wallace?
This person's claim to fame, well, she has many claims to fame. Some know her for her aptitude for fixing toasters.
Beyonce.
With puppets.
Sherry Lewis.
With actually Muppets. It was Maria from Sesame Street.
Oh, my God, really?
She was awesome. So she was
That's
the
great.
Keynote. Yeah.
What is her last name?
Hang on, her real name, because I kept calling Sonia Manzano.
Yeah, because Maria's her character name that
Correct.
She's just had
and
for 40
And there was a
years.
Lovely gentleman, I think they were the major
sponsor.
Oh, that's
sponsor. Awesome.
He was from, I think, Wells Fargo, and in his introduction, so he got the honor of introducing her, because they were the sponsoring group for the lunch, and he kept calling her Maria as we all do.
Yeah.
She was so great. She talked about, so she had a book come out, I think about a year ago, it's an autobiography. Of her life, her childhood in the Bronx. She was just a great speaker, and she talked about, my favorite story she told was how, she was talking about how kids think and kids just understand the world in a different way, and how the kids think that the Muppets are as real as the people on the show, right? So first she talked about how people would see her and the guy that played her husband on the show and think that they were, of course, really married.
Right.
But then she said they were bringing some kids for like a behind the scenes tour of Sesame Street, and the it's an older gentleman who plays Big Bird, who's actually in the costume.
Carol Spinney,
So he takes off the top of the costume.
Oh, God.
And he's standing there, and this kid, like, crosses his arms and says to Sonia, not Maria, or Maria, not Sonia, or Anne, says, is somebody going to tell Big Bird that he's got a man inside him? Like, it was just great. It was great.
Oh, that's
so
awesome.
She was awesome. I know some folks who have read her book, which whose name I forget, but I could bring that up. It came out very recently. She was great. So that's how I celebrated the week of the
young
child.
That's a pretty good way to celebrate.
And she's just adorable.
You think about the people from Sesame Street. Like, we don't even really know their name, like their real names. We just know Maria and Louise and Gordon. And all those, and just how big a celebrity they really are, just from the fact that literally at this point, what, three generations have grown up with those people.
And she also talked about this, and it's something that you, that we forget, or perhaps forget, how Sesame Street has dealt with such major issues.
Yes.
So when they started to talk to kids about death, when
Mr. Hooper died.
Mr. Hooper died.
I was exactly at that age.
Right?
So yeah, that
so
was
So they
was
had
a
to
big
figure out
deal.
A way to do that honestly so that kids could engage with it.
Yep,
she
yep.
talked about after 9/11, how they had to sort of, you know, how they used the format of Sesame Street and their strengths to talk about these issues. Mm. It was really powerful.
Yeah.
So
that's cool.
She was awesome.
All right. So
we're going to talk about kids' books.
Let's talk about kids' books. Yeah. So this is the week of the young child.
Mm-hmm.
So how young is young?
I don't know. How young do you want young to be?
1 year older than me.
Okay. You're really young,
Aaron. I want young to be 1 year older than me at any point in my life.
I don't know. You define young.
10 and under, maybe.
What else, babe? I'll roll with it. And actually, I'm going to start.
Okay,
I'm
going
to just interject here.
Please do, because I have not, I have been very unwith it today, so I didn't get a lot of sleep last night, so I'm tired. I taught this morning. I've got a little bit of a cold lingering. I confused Spotify with Storify when Kristen Smith was on the air. And I'm just kind of floating through this entire day in a haze. So my recommendations for kids' books are not going to be as good.
You know what I tell young children when they whine?
Yeah, what is it?
Buck up, buckaroo.
Sounds good. All right.
You just said that you just defined yourself as
young child. Yeah,
and then you proceeded to
I
whine.
Absolutely.
So
was
up,
willing
buckaroo.
To go with it. Yeah. All right, good.
So my first recommendation, I just
after bucking
it
up buckaroo.
Yes.
All right.
That would actually be an awesome children's book.
Right?
I should write
Buck
that
up,
book.
Buckaroo?
Buck up, buckaroo.
What would it be about? Would
a
it be
cowboy
like a
who whines.
Yeah.
A little tiny cowboy kid who whines.
Oh God. This is not a recommendation.
Or Space Cowboy.
No,
Buckaroo Banzai. Buck up, Buckaroo Banzai.
Buckaroo Banzai is a great movie. Have you read Cowboy? This is not a recommendation for a kid's book, but I think it's just a one-shot graphic novel about
half boy, half cow?
You'd think so, but no, it's like this tiny little, like, 8-year-old kid whose family is all, like...
Cows?
No, there's no cows. There are no cows. Get your mind out of the udder.
Right. This show started out so serious and so earnest. We were on point.
We were. Anyway, it's this graphic novel about this kid whose family are all like miscreants and ill doers, and it's set in the Wild West. And he becomes an 8-year-old bounty hunter for the sole purpose of rounding up all the members of his family and bringing them to justice. It's
but where do the cows come in?
Real fun. Cow. I got nothing.
Okay. Sounds like it would make a great move. movie.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, no, you're not.
What the heck were we talking about? So, Buckaroo, forthcoming from Susan Brown.
Would be a Western about
a kid's book about
a kid's
whining.
Book about a little cowboy.
Who whines.
I think that would be real good.
Yeah.
We should write that.
His real name, before they gave him the name Buckaroo Banzai, would be Okay, so
see,
my
that
first book
in
that I want to recommend is Becoming Maria, Love and Chaos in the South Bronx. That is her book. Sesame Street Maria, a.k.a. Sonia Manzano. Mm-hmm. It's called Becoming Maria, Love and Chaos in the South, or yes, Love and Chaos in the South Bronx. And it was, I believe, written for kind of a teen audience, mm-hmm. but apparently it's fabulous. Okay. Now it's your turn to talk.
Okay,
I won't interrupt, I swear.
All right, cool. So I was thinking about my favorite books of all time. You can interrupt me as much as you want. I'm just going to keep talking over you. I was thinking about my very favorite books when I was really, really young. And it's kind of hard to remember because it was not all that long ago, really, but a while ago. And started thinking about, okay, favorite authors. What would my favorite authors have been? First one I thought of was Dr. Seuss. And you've got the sort of classic Green Eggs and Ham and Cat in the Hat. So I'm going to recommend Fox and Socks, which
Ooh.
Was, I think, my favorite Dr. Seuss growing up. That's the tongue twister one about the beetle battle and the piddle paddle and the puddle.
The piddle paddle and the puddle, yes.
Yeah, that's a real fun book.
So it makes me think of my sort of off the radar, under the radar favorite Dr. Seuss book. I think it was called What Was I So Scared Of?
Okay.
And it's about being chased by these pants. They're pale green pants. I think they're chasing a kid through the woods.
Oh.
But there's nobody in the pants.
Pants
are running on their own.
Is that an independent book or is that a short story?
It's a smaller book.
Okay.
So it's in rhyme.
I feel like I read that in the same book with the Sneetches.
It's been collected
in one of
those.
Yeah.
And, I love, my husband and I both have some books from our childhood.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get those big collections of Dr. Seuss, then you get into some great ones. So now I feel like everybody knows Green Eggs and Ham and Cat in the Hat, but you forget about the Sneetches or Bartholomew and the Oobleck or whatever that one, or the 500. There, I don't know. There's all of these other ones
that
are great. And if I own the circus,
another
one.
Yeah.
So Dr. Seuss.
Dr. Seuss is
Fox
really good
Sox.
All around. Yep. That's my first one.
Okay.
Go for it.
So I was trying to think of, Dr. Seuss is a great, all around, all encompassing. Everybody's going to love Dr. Seuss. Goes across ages, genders. He's just great.
Yep.
So then that leads me to my sort of go-to all around, no matter if it's a boy, girl from age 3 till 13, probably. Maybe not 13. Probably.
Okay.
Maybe. So my all around go-to recommendation for a current modern kids author is Mo Willems.
Okay.
So Mo Willems writes The Pigeon. Don't Let the Pigeon Drive the Bus.
Mm-hmm.
The Pigeon Gets a Hot Dog. The Pigeon Wants a Cookie. There's a whole series of them. The Pigeon Takes a Bath. You want to talk about books that will make you laugh out loud reading them and hearing them. And then he wrote my favorite series, which is Knuffle Bunny, or Nuffle Bunny, but I say Knuffle Bunny.
I think it should be Knuffle Bunny.
It's Knuffle.
Yeah, that's totally Nuffle, but it should be Knuffle.
Knuffle?
Yeah.
And actually in the book, the premise of the book is Trixie, who's a precarious young girl, goes on an adventure with her dad and loses her Knuffle Bunny, which her little stuffed thing,
right?
And it's funny and it's cute, but it's also clearly a very true homage to kids and their stuffed toys what happens.
Cool.
But she meets another girl who has that bunny, mm-hmm. and there's a debate about is it Knuffle Bunny or Nuffle Bunny.
Nice.
And Mo Willems currently writes the Elephant and Piggy books, which are laugh out loud. They're for a slightly older audience. They're kind of an easy reader. So mm-hmm. he is much like Dr. Seuss, produced a great volume of work, is still writing, and they're funny, fun to read out loud, fun to hear, and they're for all ages.
Awesome.
So that's my recommendation.
I want to go, like, bouncing off of that and thinking, like, what were the books that made me laugh out loud? I remember Tales of a Fourth Grade Nothing and Fudge, the two, like, Judy Blume books. And there was, what was it, Fudgemania? Was there the third book in that series?
Fudgerama? Fudgemania?
Fudge-something, yeah. One of those, but Tales of a Fourth Grade Nothing was the first one that you have to read in order to get to Super Fudge, which is the, like, the pinnacle of the series, but they're both real good.
But Tales of a Fourth Grade Nothing, that first one, that'll be my all-time favorite.
Yeah.
I mean, the
eat it or wear it
scene,
yes. Yeah.
How it ends,
yep.
All of it.
Yeah.
It's great stuff.
It's a good one.
Okay. Is it my turn now?
Yes.
So I was thinking, I always look for opportunities, as I know you do, to mm-hmm. give shout outs to local folks right
yes.
here in Chapel Hill. So I was thinking about who are children's book authors right here in town that we might recommend. And I want to recommend, and of course we know we have lots of great, older or authors who write for older kids, like Sarah Dessen writes great YA books. Sheila Turnage writes wonderful middle grade readers. But I want to give a shout out. She's a library patron. She's a wonderful author. Her name is Linda Ashman, and you should have her on the show sometime. Linda Ashman writes a whole bunch of books, and I think this is one of her latest ones. Thinking about the season, with just ending basketball season, heading into baseball and soccer. Thinking about the traditions here of great coaches like Roy Williams and Dean Smith. One of her latest books is called Hey Coach, and it's a wonderful picture book, and it's great for the, like, young sports lover, and it's about soccer and coaches, and it's just great. And
nice.
She's a wonderful author. She's got so many books, and you'll often find her hanging out in the Chapel Hill Public Library.
Awesome.
So, Hey Coach by Linda Ashman.
Love it. All right. I've got two more authors to recommend, so I'll just knock them out both, because I want to recommend them both for the same reason. I want to recommend Shel Silverstein and Bill Watterson, Calvin and Hobbes.
Oh, yes.
Both, I think, because if you read Shel Silverstein and Calvin and Hobbes when you are young, it's like, these are the formative books that you read when you're growing up. They shape your worldview. And if you want to shape a kid's worldview in a positive way, give them Shel Silverstein and give them Calvin and Hobbes, because they're smart, they're funny, they're unique, they're inclusive, they're just quirky enough. They teach you to look at things from different angles and different perspectives. They're both unbelievably smart. Like, Watterson gets tons of credit for being smart. Silverstein doesn't as much, but it equally is. I'm going through, like, all of the old books that I had growing up and purging some of them that I don't need anymore. So I got to go back and reread Where the Sidewalk Ends and...
So good.
What was the second one? Not Falling Up.
Light of the Attic. Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
They hold up. They really, really do. Like, some of the greatest poetry of all time is written in those books.
That's awesome.
And Calvin and Hobbes does not need to be defended, because it's the best.
Yeah, and my kids just read them over and over and over again. So I will end with a couple other comic strips. So my kids read them all the time. So Calvin and Hobbes,
mm-hmm.
They really love, my older one currently loves Zits. And what's the other one? About the Fox family. Foxtrot. So this is getting into older readers.
I read Foxtrot when I was pretty young, though, so.
Yeah, and Pearls Before Swine.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Pearls Before Swine is always a classic.
Garfield. And then I recently discovered Garfield Minus Garfield.
Oh, my God, yes.
Which I think started out as a website where they take out all of the words
Garfield. Well, they just remove
Garfield
altogether.
Words.
Well,
oh, no, it's Garfield. Yeah, Garfield's out.
Yeah.
So it's just Sad John talking to himself.
Sad John talking to himself with, like, absolutely no reaction whatsoever from anything.
Right.
Yeah.
And then they, so that started out as a website, and then they published it as a book. So we found a copy at the friend sale, and my kids just think it's a riot.
Oh, that's so funny.
But the comic strip that I want to recommend, it's not for everyone, but it's by a guy named Mark Tatulli.
Uh-huh.
He's written a couple kids' books sort of in the like third, fourth, fifth grade range called Desmond Puckett. They're about a kid vampire. They're really good. So we first read those, but then we discovered his comic strip called Leo, L-I-O, with a little long mark over the O. And they often reference all of these other strips. So if you have a kid or if you yourself have a slightly sick and twisted sense of humor, Leo runs as a daily strip.
I'm going to just go ahead and Google this.
But they're also
right
published
now.
In book form. And much like Pearls Before Swine does, he often makes references and jokes and riffs on Calvin and Hobbes and Garfield and Peanuts. But Leo, it's about a little boy who's got a very creative mind. He lives with his father, who I don't know if you ever, you see his dad, but I don't think his dad ever talks.
Yeah.
And his world is inhabited by the monsters under the bed and the aliens who live in the closet. And it's just,
nice.
Right. So if you have that darker sense of humor, it's a wonderful comic strip. It's really funny, called Leo.
I'm reading it right now. It's very good.
It's very strange
it's
and
very
delightful.
Strange and good, yeah.
My kids love it. So
right.
There you go.
Awesome.
Happy Week of the Young
Happy
Child.
Happy Week of the Young Child. Susan Brown, Chapel Hill Public Library. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.